I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome on back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, another edition of the program. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great Scott Mitchell, as always on the show. As we talk a little bit of sports and a little bit of everything in between. And there's a lot of in between these days, Scott, because we're waiting for the sports to get kicked back on. And
I think everything's in between right now. We're in between something. In between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, it's interesting because you think about how politics and sports, we don't like to mix the two. And we get really, really uncomfortable when the two mix because we kind of just want to have our sports, and we just want to like, and it's a really bad time because we don't have the sports to distract from integrating the politics into the sports, right? That's like, and so we're getting it to a high degree these days. And I want to start out the show with the discussion that's going on all across the sports, and that is the name change possibilities for some of these franchises that people are talking about. It's our 805 cut. Let's just jump right in here.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Right, when, so, when I was a Boy Scout,
there
was a merit badge, right? Citizenship in the nation.
Oh, yeah.
One of the requirements was to write your senator. So I wrote my senator, who at the time was
Orrin Hatch.
Yeah. The younger version of Orrin Hatch.
Yeah.
And my comment to him was 1980 when they boycotted the Olympics, the U.S.
Right. That was a tough summer for everybody.
And I just said, I thought this was terrible. Right. How could you, you know, here I'm this, you know, like I know anything, right?
You're like, just get along with the Russians, would you? Jeez, man.
And he wrote me back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, still have the letters from my senator, Orrin Hatch.
He said, look, you little snot-nosed Brad.
And I met him later, and he remembered. He remembered me writing the letter.
That's funny.
Yeah, so didn't change anything.
Oh, I was going to say.
Like they still boycotted the Olympics.
What happened? Did they end up?
He just said, well, you know, some of those political issues in sports, it's just kind of, it's just, you know, he gave me the political answer.
They're together sometimes.
Told me a whole lot of nothing.
Well, let's see if we can cover something on this then.
Am I going to have to write my senator again?
after this segment, yeah. Maybe. So the Redskins are considering a name. We've talked about this on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has ever stuck because we haven't been in a spot now like we have been in the country before, which is, hey, anything now that is considered outdated or outdated practices or nicknames, like everything's on the chopping block.
Yeah.
So the Redskins, Dan Snyder and the ownership group are, and Ron Rivera, now their new head coach, who's also a minority, they're talking about actually looking at the possibility of changing the name, which is something that Dan Snyder's never even considered before. Shops aren't selling some of their merchandise. That's the real part where Dan Snyder starts to show up, right?
I have the perfect name.
You're already moving on there.
Oh, yeah. I have a perfect name for this.
But see, I want to ask you about historical context, though, because Redskins, as a kid, I never thought to myself that it was a derogatory term.
Right. How I've always looked at mascots or team names or school names, whatever they are.
Yeah.
I've always looked at it as a way of paying tribute. I've never looked at it, never in a trillion thousand thoughts in my head in my lifetime.
Right.
Have I ever gone, yeah, I this is this is this was meant, the intention of this was meant to be derogatory, to be demeaning, to be mean. Never in a million years.
Well, what about the, but
I would, I would love, love if they, if some school named themselves after me. You know?
but see, Redskins is not necessarily a full-on like accepted terminology. What about the Indians logo? Well, the Indians logo,
it's supposedly a derogatory term.
Well, the more we look at the Cleveland Indians logo, to me is the one that we have right. to look at hard yeah. because you go, that's a caricature of a Native American. I mean, that's like, think about the Warner Brothers cartoons that we watched right. growing up, where yeah. it was like, you know, Bugs Bunny was created to look like a Native American. He'd do the smoke
Bugs
signals.
Bugs Bunny was naked too, by
right?
the way.
And they would yeah. they would say certain things that there was no way you could get away with saying that stuff now. So we've moved on right. from that. And part of the thing is that I'm all for not pretending like, hey, what we did 50 years ago, we need to be held totally accountable for right now. Like if it wasn't me, or I'm all for changing and getting better at it. I wonder about the Redskins. I wonder, because that never sounded great to me. I remember thinking, not knowing what it really was, and then when somebody explained it.
I never thought about it.
I know, but see.
I didn't ever.
But I'm a white dude, so I never thought about it. That was my thing. Yeah. And when the Cowboys played the Redskins on Thanksgiving, like to me, I was like, this seems like home, right? Where you're like, you got right. the Cowboys and the Indians, and they're playing each other.
That's what you did as a kid. You played Cowboys and Indians.
Think about what
but
Thanksgiving
was. But you know what I always
was.
Wanted to be? I wanted to be the Indian. I'm part Indian, Alex. I'm part Cherokee Indian.
Then tell me what should happen, since you're the authority
so,
on this.
I'm not just the white guy in the room, right? I know this is a massively sensitive issue, and it should be. Like we shouldn't.
Well, it unfortunately becomes more of a business decision than it does anything else.
Yeah. And it sounds like maybe they're forcing the business decision on the Washington Redskins. I've never looked at it like it was insensitive. I just haven't. I haven't looked at it where it's trying to be demeaning, derogatory. I mean, think about it.
But
I mean,
others
if you're really trying to do that, would you really look? If you owned a football team, would you go out there and go, let me think of the most vile, offensive name that I could possibly come up with, and that's what I'm going to name my team.
Look, I get
no,
it.
No one's trying to do that.
It wasn't born out of that. I get it. No. It wasn't born out of that. And that's
so why can't people look at it for what it's worth then? Why do we have to go, well, no, this is why?
Because now the context is looked at through that 2020 lens, right?
I wonder if people are actually going, you know what? I wonder if some of this is an attempt to go, I feel like I have power now. I feel like I have validity now, and I just want to change everything for the sake of changing everything. You know, it's like, I mean, they're knocking down sculptures and statues of people that were fighting for racial equality.
Let me bring up the dark side of the mascot, though, too. Growing up in Texas, as a white kid, I never thought 2 seconds about this either. When you would see, and you couldn't throw a rock without finding a middle school or a high school whose mascot were the Rebels. And I'm not right. kidding. It was a caricature. There would be a guy dressed up in a Confederate uniform with a sword, right? Running down the field. Like, I think about it now, how that would look for somebody, and by the way, half the team was black, right?
Yeah.
And they've got Rebels on the side of their helmet, and you're going, this feels, like now I think about it and go, this feels weird. In Washington, when we moved up to Washington, all of the teams that had any representation of a Native American name, and that includes Chiefs, Warriors, anything like that,
right.
they made them change. We played a team that were the Marysville Tomahawks. And I think that they've kept that. And I think that's one of these kind of long-standing, like, I don't know how they've kept it. I think my mom's high school up in Washington still is the Chiefs. But, you know, for the most part, we look back and we go, okay, I can see how there is a group who looks at this and feels really sad when they see this. For you and I, it doesn't register.
Right.
The Rebel name didn't register in Texas for me.
Right.
And they'd have Yosemite Sam as their mascot, and yeah. they'd have the Rebel. And we do it across some of these schools still. I don't know if changing these names is going to make us a better group. The reality is I don't know if it's going to make us more sensitive over time, but I do think Redskins sounds harsh. in 2020, Redskins sounds really harsh.
Well, can I tell you what my name is then? Because that's all I really want to do. I just want to tell
I
you
thought
what
you
my name
it was just going to be the Scott Mitchells. I
mean, No, that would be offensive to me. Yeah. Because that's not my name. My name is William.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Call them the Wet Willies.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Here's my name. Are you ready for my name?
What is it?
The Washington Swamp Drainers.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Fitting, right?
Mm.
Or maybe the Swamp Dwellers, because they're in the swamp. It's kind of a figurative term.
Yeah, I got you.
Or the Swampies or the Swampers.
The
Swamp Thing.
People have all sorts of like ideas of what they should change the name to. I did see one that was the Red Tails, and it kind of was I thought it was like a hawk
no,
or something.
No.
No, you don't want it?
No. Are you kidding? No. No.
Okay.
No, I don't even want to get into why I don't want that.
Okay.
I just don't want it.
But the Wet Willies.
Wet Willies.
All right, that's your own personal one.
That's my own. Right. If I ever have a team, if I ever become Patrick Mahomes and get a half a billion dollars.
They will be. The Chiefs will be. Oh, the Chiefs are going to be on the chopping block.
Oh,
next,
they're
man.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, they'll be Mahomes.
I think that the Indians need to get away from that caricature Indian that they use. Yeah. That's too much. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We'll take your text, 57500. Where do you land on this? Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Okay, welcome back. Kids also unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Let's get back to some actual sports talk here, Scott. We're getting
Oh, no, I want to be political.
Oh! I think you and I both equally don't like
it. Well, here's politics for you. And sports.
Yeah, let me hear it.
I think of all these professional sports leagues, I think no one wanted to be the first out of the blocks. It's like they wanted to be the first if everything was going to be okay. Kind of like golf is really okay, right?
And golf is its own thing too. They can get away with a lot.
Yeah, and so here you have the NBA, right? They're now going and they're converging together in their little bubble world. And Florida is now
it's a hot spot. Man.
It's a hot spot.
Yeah.
And I would imagine folks have to be freaking out.
Adam Silver's freaking out. I mean, here's the actual thing. They Adam Silver has been quoted as saying that this thing could burst their little bubble down there in Florida. And well, it's interesting too, because I think that there are a lot of folks who wonder how this is going to work out in the end. But there are rules there. So here's ESPN. I was watching this, and there was an interesting commentary as to how, and they have, you know, they have reporters down there, and they were talking about this very thing, whether or not they're even going to start things up. But here's how they're doing the testing when they get in.
So basically, if players are going to travel separate from the team, this memo says, they have a couple of options of how they could potentially get to Orlando. They could travel by charter plane out of their own pocket. They could travel by car, or they could travel on commercial air. Now, if they travel by car or by private plane, when they get to Orlando, they have to test negative twice for coronavirus before they can be incorporated into basketball activities. If they travel commercially, they will actually have to test negative three times before they would be able to join their team and resume any activities. And this is important, Jay, because from talking to front office folks around the league, they want to know exactly how long their players would be sidelined if they join later, because like you mentioned, that training camp in Orlando is the first time they'll be able to play 5-on-5 basketball.
So, interesting thought. That was Malika Andrews, by the way, from
ESPN.
It's
like trains, planes, and automobiles in order to get to... That's
three
not
different
the pillow!
Ways. There are three different ways for you to be able to get back to Orlando. And either way, they're going to test you a bunch of different ways. They're going to test you three different times if you fly in commercially. So, and the reality
is... How long
is
the training camp?
The first training camp stuff starts on the 11th, right? They're already there. They're going to start doing testing, and then they can start practicing, I think, all together on the 11th. And then the first games are the 30th. So you're talking 20-something days
it
or
seems
19
to
days.
Me, why would they ever want these players to go by themselves, travel on their own to the facility?
Yeah.
I mean, have them all come together.
I thought they were all getting on a team charter.
Right.
That's what I thought they were doing.
Why would you not want to do that? Because, you know, public travel. I mean, in
it's scary,
our building here, well, it's not only scary, but it's like an automatic quarantine for 2 weeks. I mean, how do you get tested two or three times and say, oh, yeah, you're okay? I don't know. It seems confusing.
Okay, so from the standpoint of the bubble being there, it's interesting you brought that up about the – because we were just praising up and down the NBA.
Oh, yeah,
and they're
out
making,
of the box. And
they're taking a massive – now we look at it, we go, what a gamble.
Yeah.
Because – and then we're also crossing – simultaneously, we're crossing our fingers hoping that it works out because we're all hoping that football will work out in the fall. And how this – I mean, I don't even know. It's
you know, we
be,
should just quit basketball right now.
Really?
Yes.
No,
no,
why?
I'll tell you why. Because – it's the end of the season. They're trying. You know when you try to force something, you try to force it to work. You try to, and you just don't let it, you know, kind of fade away. And every time you try to force something in your life, it never works out. Never works out. And you know what? Forcing the end of the basketball season could be, it could be, an alarm that goes off, and then guess what? It impacts the start of football season.
Right.
Let's just let this die. Just let it go. Just don't bother with it. False alarm. Go say hi to Mickey Mouse, and then you're on your way for summer vacation. And then just let football start here in the 1st of September. Because if they go in there and this thing blows up, then it's going to do exactly what happened when Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell tested positive in March. It's going to stop the world again.
I just wonder how it's going to work out with the Jazz because – you know, I think we all look at it and we go, oh, the Jazz is main player. You know, the Jazz have these two players who already tested positive, already got through it. Maybe some of the team have had to go through the team as well. And they won't have to worry as much about the health thing. But as soon as you have big names test positive, which is going to happen, we're still obsessed with like, oh, guess who has it, right? Today everybody was like, oh, the president of Brazil who was downplaying, you know, the whole coronavirus thing, he's got it now. We love to say big name has coronavirus, right? And as soon as LeBron James has it, as soon as like all the biggest names in the game have it, Adam Silver's going to have to start considering shutting it down just because of the big names.
Tom Hanks had it.
There's I know, but he had it in Australia. We didn't even know what was going on.
But there's no bigger name than Tom Hanks. And
there is in the world of sports, though.
I understand. No, my point is that, okay.
And he can quarantine on his own in his massive house in Malibu. That's
LeBron,
it.
LeBron, have your get it. And then let everyone talk about it. And then this is a good thing for the Utah Jazz because then LeBron isn't playing. And the Jazz can go and do their thing without LeBron. Look, if they're in this bubble, I don't think anyone should get it. I mean, if they're not exposed to the outside world and they're all kind of in a sterile environment, provided that they're not going out and that they're staying in a defined area, restricted area, whatever, then there shouldn't be any issues. So I'm not too worried about it. You know they've had people that have had Corona parties. Have you heard of this?
Oh, they tried to do this in Florida, right?
Where they got sick. It was like who got sick and who got the sickest, and they were actually having
down in Alabama. They were
betting on this kind of thing.
They had a pot. They had a pot that if you put all this money in, and you won it if you got it first.
And here all these football players at Alabama got it at one time. I'm just saying, everyone poo-pooed me on this when I said it before.
It's still not a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Come on. It's not chicken pox. You can't act like it's chicken pox.
You get the virus, get it out of your system, and then because our bodies are designed to deal with all kinds of disease and learning how to fight these things off. And the more mud that we roll in and the dirtier that we get, and that's a real question in the medical industry. Is by washing the heck out of our hands and staying so sterile, are we really helping or are we hurting ourselves? That kid that never goes out and gets dirty is the kid that's always sick growing up, and it's the one that, you know, basically sticks their binky in the mud, you know, and puts it in their mouth. They're never sick. There's something to that. I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to be insensitive. It's acted so weird. It's acted so much differently, I think. And maybe I'm saying this as a guy whose dad's in an assisted living facility.
So is my mom.
But see, it just is so hard to think about how this is going to affect people. Because we had this discussion yesterday when Davis School District said, and we're in the Davis School District, and they said, hey, you don't have to wear masks to school this fall, and we're going to do the full going back to school thing. And a lot of people reacted when we talked about it on the Nightside Project. They were like, oh, yeah, this is great. Great, because I would never force my kid to wear a mask. And my only thing was is the kids aren't going to be – it's not the problem. It's what the kids are going to bring home to me and what I'm going to get or what they're going to end up passing on to their grandparents or whatever. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough deal.
The mask only helps you from spreading it to someone else.
That's right. That's
right.
Doesn't
help you from getting sick.
And that's why I'm saying that if somebody has it, I hope that – or the possibility of having it, I hope they're wearing a mask. That's why we do it. All right, let's take the break. We got more to go here. When we come back, who are the best of all time in all the different sports? We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
KSL's unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's the second half of the show. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for hanging out with us on a Tuesday. We've got some things to get through here. I just wanted to, before we jump in, just your daily dose of feeling down. You ready for this? Dr. Yeah. Fauci, everybody's favorite COVID-19 advisor for the country, says baseball is more likely to finish its season than football is. And I didn't like that assessment at all. I think it was just the obvious, like, because of how much contact goes on in football.
He's trying to, like, gain social media influence.
Well, no, the problem is
he's making these outlandish statements.
No, you know what's happening is that
Dr. Fauci, he'll get clicks and followers.
He's looking at it just purely from the standpoint of, well, which one do you touch each other more? And it's not baseball. Baseball, you know, you think about how far away these guys are. They're spread out from one another kind of generally, right? And in football, I just think about how – you just think about the huddle – and you think about these guys all facing each other. You think about guys tackling one another. I think it was, you know, you've sort of opened my eyes to looking at, I watch linemen now because you've told me about how you're like, just watch a game and see how few times linemen fall down because of how athletic they are now.
Right.
These guys are 6'6", 330, and they're massive athletes.
So you can't stay on your feet, you don't play.
Right, and so they just don't, like, you cannot fall down. And I'm like, wow, I watch it now, and I'm just like, these guys are in each other's faces, beating each other up face to face. They're never going down on the ground, and you're going, hmm. And then you even think about guys that I don't know who is more prone. What positions are more prone to getting COVID-19 versus others? I don't know.
I mean,
the
close contact, fine. Young athletes, are they going to be like Donovan Mitchell, and are they going to be just asymptomatic and just kind of, you know, whatever? And I mean, you're so you know, attuned to playing injured and playing through stuff. I think of all the times I was like sick with like the flu kind of symptoms, and that was just like, you just play. And sometimes you played better when you have the Michael Jordan
ESPN
flu
30,
game.
ESPN 30 for 30s in the future will be his COVID-19 game
right.
against the Bills.
And so, you know, I don't know. I don't think the players on the field are the problem. It's the people out in public, if they go and they spread it to people. I guess that's the challenge. But I highly doubt most of the players, because they're young and they're in good shape and they don't have, you know, respiratory issues.
Right.
So
I was just more depressed seeing that because I thought, I'm so not interested in watching baseball. I feel like baseball does not deserve eyeballs this year.
I don't know if it deserves them ever.
I know. I have a bad relationship with baseball right now. Oh, all right, Scott, just a little positivity here then.
I'm just mad the minor league season is canceled
because we couldn't go to all the Bees games.
Going to the Bees games.
So here's the deal. Let's talk about the greatest of all time, the GOAT in different sports, okay?
I don't want to talk about me tonight. Seriously,
can we just not focus on me?
Comfortable with it.
Okay, let me go. Now, this is an interesting article that Yahoo Sports did because they just gave you a 1 versus 2 or a 1A, 1B. You didn't get to choose, like, oh, none of the above. I think it's so-and-so. So let's start things off here with basketball. Greatest of all time. So in basketball, they have LeBron James up against Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
No question, right?
In my mind.
I think so, too. I'm the same way. I like LeBron. I think he's very athletic. I think that the league is more athletic than it's ever been.
Do you know what I don't like about LeBron?
What?
It's the bot championships.
Oh, just it's, going let's from go like
get
city
a
su- to city.
Let's go get a super team like we did when we were growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're, you know, I'm going to, I mean, come on. And you buy super teams and you still lose, what, six championships? I mean, you can't, it's like you shouldn't, you know, I don't know. It just always rubbed me wrong, and it's always rubbed me wrong.
Maybe you disagree with this, but they have the greatest of all time in the NFL. You ready for this? Jerry Rice versus Tom Brady. Two different positions. But who's the greatest of all time? The goat of all goats in the NFL. You're going to be partial to quarterbacks because you're a quarterback.
Well, no, it's not quarterbacks. The guy won six Super Bowls. I mean, it's just hard to beat.
It's not like Jerry Rice is a slouch when it came to winning championships.
No. You could argue, you know, you get you've been exposed more to how Jerry Rice was a player in practice. The way he was
in practice. He's got records that won't get touched either.
The way he was in practice, he was legendary. And the way he performed in big games and the consistency and the longevity and all of the records. Like Tom Brady, you know, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and, you know, some of these other guys have a comparable record as far as personal statistics.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But they certainly don't have the championships. And, You could argue either one there.
My thing about Jerry Rice being so amazing is he doesn't – it's not even close. Every play, Tom Brady touches the football. Not every play does Jerry Rice touch a football. And he was still able to be so amazing even under those circumstances where maybe once every four plays he gets to touch the ball. But he's the greatest of all time at his position, no doubt. And I just wonder if it's enough to be better than Tom Brady in an era when everybody just loves recency bias and loves what Tom Brady did.
Tom Brady is like three plays away from winning like eight, nine championships. I mean, the David Tyree throw, you know, a couple of
and of course they got the interception too.
Yeah, they should have run
Marshawn Lynch. Falcons almost beating him.
Falcons,
too.
Yeah,
so,
meltdown.
You know,
yeah.
it kind of washes out.
Yeah. Yeah, still six championships. And he's the common thread through all of them.
Okay,
yeah,
greatest Brady. Of all time in baseball. They gave us two options: Willie Mays or Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth made baseball.
He's kind of that Michael Jordan for baseball, he's the name that everybody kind of associates with the sport, right?
And
which is amazing to me. This is how
What was their argument for Willie Mays?
Willie Mays, way ahead of his time. He was a five-tool player. Like he was the most all-around player. Yeah. Awesome defender.
Babe Ruth was a pitcher.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, no doubt. He has this crazy. And
yeah,
the other
but
thing
Babe
was
Ruth was kind of a bigger than life figure. You know, his off the field was as gargantuan as being on the field.
Yeah, and that's when you know, in a weird way, now athletes back then were even more. Celebrities than they are now because there were so few of them that we were putting on that pedestal. Now, like, every athlete's a superstar, it seems like.
Yeah.
Let me throw some numbers out there for Babe Ruth. 714 home runs. That's third all-time. Frankly, it's second all-time.
And it was just –
behind Hank Aaron.
It was shocking, right? Because it was just shocking.
But they were hitting – I mean, the fields they were hitting on, too, 450 feet across the board.
It's probably one of those records I think a lot of people said that never be broken.
Second in RBI, 2,200 RBI. His career batting average was 345. Like, just
– right. Amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And he had 60 home runs in 1927. And despite all this, I mean, he won – I mean, Willie Mays was an all-star 20 years, and he was a gold glover 13 years. So, like, I mean, you know how good he was across the whole thing, but he won 100 – Babe Ruth almost won 100 games as a pitcher. He was less than 3 ERA as a pitcher. So, I don't know. I think Babe Ruth – it's a weird thing because you think about him playing in the 20s and 30s, and to have his name be so ubiquitous for the sport is a pretty amazing thing.
Babe Ruth.
Hockey. Ready?
Hockey. Wayne Gretzky.
What about Mario Lemieux? He's not the great one. You're not called the great one. There's a record that'll never be touched when it comes to goals and assists. And
is Lemieux the other guy?
Mario Lemieux.
No. Yeah. Gretzky.
9-time MVP was Gretzky. That's pretty tough to beat. Okay, now here's one for you.
They said Gretzky was skating in just a different planet than everyone else.
I got to see him play in person before he retired when he was Los Angeles King, and that was a big deal. And I remember the Dallas Stars played him, and they beat the Stars 5-0. And I remember, I just don't care. I got to see Bobby McSorley beat somebody up in the game.
Right.
And then I got to see Wayne Gretzky skate around and score a goal.
Yeah, that's a twofer right there.
How about Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods?
Oh, man.
You're partial to Tiger.
I'm going to say Jack Nicklaus.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Tiger kind of has fizzled out at the end of his career. There was a lot of time that Tiger could have been a lot more dominant.
He would have been the Wayne Gretzky of golf, question.
Yeah, and he just kind of didn't quite get it done.
I'm going to go with Tiger. Tiger, his body of work, though, I know that it hasn't been well-rounded at the end. To win the Masters last year, pretty dang cool.
Well, and Jack Nicklaus did it at 46.
I know, but the thing is that that might end up being the deal. But I think by the end we're going to look at Tiger. I don't even like Tiger Woods as a person, but I like his game. It's always fun to watch Tiger.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a figure in sports on TV that we wanted to that we had to see in an event more than Tiger Woods.
I watched golf because Tiger Woods was there.
Absolutely. Taking the break, we got more to go. News, traffic, and weather. Oh, no, we just had that. When we come back, no news, traffic, and weather. We will have just the regular ending to the show. It's a 2-minute drill next on KSL's Unrivaled. Okay, welcome back. Final segment of KSL's Unrivaled for this evening. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Scott, thanks for being you, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Happy to do it. Anytime you need me to be me, I'll be me.
Worst quote of the night, the Scott Mitchell, the Mitchell High School Wet Willies. We are not naming a high school mascot after you.
I didn't say it. This is professional. This is not high school.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not a high school.
This is
actually,
they
it would fit in high
this
school.
Is they, so
it's
what
high
sport
school
do you
want to
be? What do you want to be?
What sport?
Yeah.
It's the mascot.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm saying what sport? Wet Willies would fit into a AAA team.
Yes.
They'd have a hot dog night.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd have the Scott Mitchell special on burger night.
It's a thing.
Yeah. And the Wet Willies you could actually get away with.
It almost sounds like a band. The Wet Willies.
Oh, my goodness. This is where I come over here. I press this button. We get our music going. Scott describes for you what the 2-minute drill actually entails here on the program.
All right, 2-minute drill is when we get to the end of the show. We got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time to talk about it
because
we got to hurry. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things, then we hurry up and finish the show and win the day and go home happy.
I wanted to bring something up about this. There's an article in USA Today about golf always kind of needing a bad boy, a good guy, bad guy kind of villain thing. And maybe every sport's like this.
Yeah.
We villainize even that. If you're a great player, we villainize you somehow, right? I mean, if you're
isn't
LeBron
that
James,
a great story you have the
right? It's you're LeBron James and you're the most charitable person in the history of the NBA. Don't care. You left Cleveland that first time to go to Miami, man.
Right.
We'll make you a villain because that makes our watching more interesting.
Right.
You got to hate somebody or you got to love somebody. And Bryson DeChambeau, who has gotten a lot of everybody, he's gotten a lot of attention this year.
Getting under their craw, isn't he?
Last year, or 2 years ago, it was Patrick Reed. Do you remember this whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
He wins the Masters, but everybody goes, but you haven't talked to your mom in 10 years. What's your problem? And it became a whole thing because he had a restraining order that his parents weren't allowed to come to the Masters. And they interview them, and they're like, oh, shucks, they had to watch it from their house a mile from the Augusta National Golf Course because, hoping one day we could just rekindle that relationship. And we made him out to be the biggest villain. And then he had the little sneaking possibility of him cheating out there, right? So we loved having that.
Yeah.
Now Bryson DeChambeau is the biggest villain in golf because he got ripped during the offseason. This guy looks like a WWE character.
Right.
And he's
trying to hit the ball 400 yards.
They showed in the last tournament, they put everybody's numbers up on average drive in regulation, average like fairway in regulation driving distance. And everybody was, I mean, on top of the list is 342, 338, 337.4. But number one was Bryson DeChambeau at 377.
Yeah.
Like he was 40 yards ahead of everybody. And no one is saying it. He's ripped, way more ripped than he was last year.
So how did he get so ripped?
Exactly. Yes. Everybody's up because we never thought to ourselves.
Well, they would do this in golf.
This is the sport where people drank Diet Cokes and smoked cigarettes on the fairway, and they'd win the tournament on Sunday.
And they had pot bellies. And
right.
Yeah.
And look, Tiger Woods was kind of the first one to bring like real fitness to the
game. Yeah.
Like fitness whole pizza in my mouth. And that's what I'm saying.
and a lot of guys, you know, have followed suit. But for a long time, golf was just kind of this, you know, it was like a – just I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying.
It's a chubby white guy sport,
well,
Scott.
Kind of, yeah. More or less.
It was a bunch of wet willies out there.
I'm just trying to figure out how can I say this without offending everybody in the world.
It was a bunch of wet willies out yeah. there on the course.
Just kind of a bunch of, yeah, guys that probably would show up in a bar and just kind of, you know, gamble and
right, they're
and,
hustling people.
Right, they're hustlers.
They became,
that's what I'm looking
and they
for.
Became amazing golfers
it,
because
it became legitimate.
Yeah. And it's just, it's wild to think that Bryson DeChambeau now is the villain because he got all ripped because everybody's doing this little hushed tone things because this campaign of him taking steroids possibility.
When I lived in Orlando, I lived around a lot of these golfers, and I would ask, I said, all right, the public image of people, like who is real and who isn't, you know, because the way they're portrayed and the way they're not, and they go, there's some people that are very, very famous that nobody likes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's like that in every sport, yeah. right?
But see, I like a guy like Bryson DeChambeau because
I don't see a reason to really
because
not like
him. He wears kind of the funky clothes and he's just different.
I'm telling you, he's a character in WWE like the golfer.
Right.
You know, he comes out there with like a polo yeah. shirt on that's yeah. ripped.
Yeah.
And he throws the guy from the top rank. He throws the guy from the top rope. It's amazing. Scott, next on the old two-minute drill here. So apparently yesterday when we were all trying to figure out this news with Patrick Mahomes, so we found out where we actually got the news initially. And that is Katie Camlin, who was working at the Plaza Liquor Store in Kansas City, broke the news on Twitter about this $400 million contract. And she was the one who was out there. It's now, and by the way, yesterday when we were talking about it, it was 10 years, $400 million. It's now, the real terms have kind of come out, and it's a 10-year, $503 million deal. Guaranteed money in the $477 million range. It's got $477 million in guaranteed money. It's way more insane than we even thought. But the person who broke it, this gal at this liquor store, who was just doing her job, man. She was just out there, and she heard tale. She heard that something was going to be going on, and there it was. The agency tweeted that the deal is worth $503 million, including $477 million in guaranteed mechanisms. But the reality was that she was the first one to break this. And
that's where
go.
We get all of our good information.
From the liquor store?
You get it from the liquor store. You get it from the waiter, the waitress. You get it from the taxi driver or the Uber driver now.
Right.
It's just because people are just, it's that person is invisible. And so people let down their guard and they just have yeah. a conversation.
So what was it? It was a Chiefs employee
exactly.
who was buying champagne.
Right.
And he was like, and they're like, wow, you're going to have a party?
Oh,
and
hey.
She's like,
you, I know.
And then they go,
like,
I know
just
you
signed
know
Patrick
something?
Mahomes. For-
oh, you did? Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. How much money is he going to get? Front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought six bottles of Dom. Said there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones, so my guess is a giant Mahomes deal. So she was the one who first threw it out there.
Yeah. That's savvy right there.
That was a big deal. After all is said and done, Scott, it's even bigger than we thought. 10 years, $503 million, $477 million guaranteed. But we have no idea how to comprehend that. This is our first half billion-dollar athlete. We thought $400 million was a lot, and it was. We were short by 27%.
When we get off the air, I'm going to run some numbers for you.
Oh, you're going to start talking taxes.
These are after tax.
Scott always starts talking taxes,
and you're going to go, "Oh my goodness!" You'll go, "Oh my goodness!"
All right. Well, I'll have that conversation off the air with Scott, and you guys can just wait for it tomorrow on KSL's Unrivaled. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Another edition of the show. We'll be back again tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. We'll see you then.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.